In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The subject I intended to speak about today is not an easy one, but one cannot simply ignore what has been going on and pretend nothing has ever happened. The scandal we have seen during these past 50 or 60 years are very painful to the church. And because it hurts, we would be inclined not to talk about it and simply let it go. However, it would not resolve the matter, because the solution of a problem does not come from denying its existence. We have to be realistic. If there is a problem, we should learn how to deal with it. So what we have to do is to learn how to face this terrible thing we see today. Because this scandal has shaken the faith of so many good people, they stopped believing in God because they were deceived by men. But we cannot forget that our faith is based not upon men, but upon God. He is the rock of our salvation. We believe because God has revealed. Even if all priests were to be unworthy, it would not change anything concerning the truth of our religion. Traitors. We always had traitors since the beginning of the church. When our Lord Jesus Christ chose the 12 apostles, there was a traitor among them, Judas. A man who was chosen to be an apostle and who spent 3 years very close to our Lord. A man who received the mission to preach the truth and even the power to work miracles. A man who was ordained a priest on Holy Thursday. That man was a traitor. He exchanged the life of his master for money. He left his vocation behind in order to satisfy his passion. In his case, it was the love for money that made him lose God. But it could have been any other vice. Judas could have had a throne in heaven, but he preferred hell. Oh, how disturbing it is to see the fall of an angel. But here, it is important to notice that the first Christians did not lose their faith because Judas was a traitor. Nor they believed that because Judas was an apostle, so all the other apostles were traitors as well. No. If we follow the proportions given in the Holy Gospel, we could say that in every 12 there is one traitor. So when you hear about a scandal concerning a priest who was not worthy of his vocation, please remember, I beg you, the other 11 good priests that you don't hear about. Remember and be consoled, because for every traitor there are 11 other good servants of God. We cannot distrust Peter, James, John, and all the others because of Judas. Yes, there was a traitor among the apostles, but there were 11 others who remained faithful. So we should not allow these scandals to shake our faith. This is the work of the devil, trying to destroy the church of God and to bring shame and dirt to her spotless faith. All this confusion, all this heresy, all this immorality is nothing but the smoke of Satan that has entered the church. Nevertheless, the church remains the church, the bride of Christ, even though her face may be disfigured by the sins of her members. The church is not rotten, even though there may be rotten people inside her. Remember, the church is without sin, but not without sin. But we could ask ourselves, what is the root of the problem? What is the cause of all these scandals? My brethren, there are two causes. First of all, comes the wickedness, the malice of these criminals who are personally and completely responsible for all the evil they do. And they have done so much evil. They have hurt so many people. The lowest place in hell is reserved for these offspring of Judas, for all the unfaithful priests, if they don't repent. So this is the immediate cause of the problem. The malice of these traitors who have abandoned God to serve the idols of their evil passions. However, there is still another cause that we could call mediate or remote, but not less important in order to understand the problem. And this cause, my brethren, this cause is our own sins. The sins of each one of us. And I know that we would prefer not to hear that. But the fact is that bad priests are a punishment of God because of our sins. Let me read with you what St. John Eudes wrote 400 years ago. He said, "The most evident mark of God's anger and the most terrible castigation that he can inflict upon the world are manifested when he permits his people to fall into the hands of clergy who are priests more in name than in deed. Priests who practice the cruelty of ravening wolves rather than the charity of devoted shepherds. When God permits such things, it's a very positive proof that he is angry with his people and is visiting his most dreadful anger upon them. That's why he cries unceasingly to Christians, 'Convert, all you revolting children, convert, and I will give you pastor according to my own heart.'" In this way, irregularities in the lives of priests constitute a scourge visited upon the people in consequence of sin. my brethren. These words should make us tremble. The sad state in which we find the church today is the consequence of our sins, and we are being punished by God. This crisis that we experience today is, in the end, a crisis of holiness. Lack of holiness, first of all, in the clergy, but also lack of holiness in the laity. Through our own unfaithfulness, we have provoked the wrath of God. And that's where we are today. But what could we do now in order to help the church in this very difficult time? My brethren, the first thing to do is to implore God for holy priests. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "Pray the Lord of the harvest that he may send workers into the harvest." And the church always understood this word as an obligation for all faithful to pray and to do penance, asking God to send us holy priests. Until 50 or 60 years ago, the church would have, every year, 12 days of prayer and penance, asking God for the sanctification of the priest. That's what we call the Ember Day. 12 days of prayer and penance, which do not exist anymore because they were suppressed in the liturgical changes. And then we wonder, what is going on? Do you see the connection? Because today, who prays for the priest? Who does penance for them? And I am afraid that not many people here would be able to raise their hand. You see, it is time to remember that the faithful have a grave responsibility in the sanctification of the clergy. And the second thing that we have to do to help the church is to work on our own personal sanctification. Because, as we have seen, the plague of bad priests came upon us as a punishment for our sins. We needed to understand that we are a body, and the sins of one member affect the other member. Our sins have spiritual consequences, not only for ourselves, but also for our family and for the entire church. In such a way that we could say that when we lower ourselves through sin, we lower the entire church. But when we strive to elevate ourselves through holiness of life, so we elevate the entire church with us. In this way, my brethren, all these scandals should be for us a call to personal conversion, a call to pray more and to do more penance. Asking God to be merciful unto us and give to His church good priests, holy priest, according to his own heart. So there are three things to remember when we hear about this scandal. Number one, our faith is not based upon any man, but upon God. Number two, among the 12 apostles themselves, there was a traitor. And number three, the priests rely on your prayer. Therefore, my brethren, complaining is not enough, because if we want good priests, we need to pray. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.